Chapter 17. Away. At 3:20, Dune took his pillowcase pack, left the school by the back door, and started up Pibb Street. He went fast. The lights had gone out for a few minutes just before 3, and he was nervous about being outside. He planned to take the long way to the pipeworks, out at the very edge of the city, to avoid any guards that might still be looking for him. He was filled with dread about Lina. He wouldn't know what had happened to her until he got to the pipeworks, and she either showed up or didn't. All he could do now was run. He raced down Knack Street. It was strange to be out in the city with the streets so utterly deserted. Without the people passing back and forth, the streets seemed wider and darker. Nothing moved but himself, his shadow, and his fleeting reflection in shop windows he passed. In Selverton Square, he saw a kiosk where the poster with his and Lina's names on it had been pinned up. Everyone in the city must have seen these posters by now. He was famous, he thought wryly, but not in the way he'd wanted. There would be no glorious moment on the gathering hall steps after all. Instead of making his father proud, he would cause him dreadful worry. This thought made him so sad that his knees felt suddenly wobbly. How could he just vanish without a word? But it was too late now. He couldn't go back. If only there was some way to send him a message. And in a moment, he realized there was. He stopped, fished in his pack for the paper and pencil he had brought, and scribbled on it, "Father, we have found the way out. It was in the pipeworks after all. You will know about it tomorrow. Love, Dune." He folded this in quarters, wrote, "Deliver to Loras Harrow," in big letters on the outside, and pinned it to the kiosk. There. That was the best he could do. He would have to trust that someone would deliver it. In the distance, he heard the faint sound of singing. He listened. It was the song of the river just ending. "Far below, like the blood of the earth, from the center of nowhere, rushing forth," he sang under his breath. Like everyone in Ember, he knew the words of the 3 songs by heart. He sang along softly with the faraway singers. "Making the light for the lamps of Ember, older than anyone can remember, faster than anything anyone knows, the river comes and the river goes." Up Rim Street now to River Road, he was halfway there. The singers were starting on the Song of Darkness. It was his favorite, with its powerful deep harmonies. He was a little sorry to be missing it. He went up the Pott Street side of empty River Road Square, where another poster hung crookedly on the kiosk, and he was headed toward North Street when suddenly the lights flickered and went out. He jolted to a stop. Stand still and wait. That was his automatic response. In the distance, he heard a dip in the sound of the singing, some startled voices breaking the flow, but then the song rose again, defying the darkness. For a moment, all thoughts vanished from Dune's mind. There was nothing but the fearless words of the song. "Black as sleep and deep as dreaming, darkness like an endless night, yet within the streets of Ember, bright and bravely shines our light." He sang, standing still in the blackness. When the song ended, he waited. The lights would surely come back soon. For a few minutes, there was silence, and then far away, but piercingly clear, he heard a scream. More screams and shouts followed, the sounds of panic. He felt the panic himself, like a hand taking hold of him, making him want to leap up and fling himself against the dark. But suddenly, with a flash of joy, he remembered. He didn't have to wait for the lights to come back on. He had what no citizen of Ember had ever had before, a way to see in the dark. He set his pack down, untied the knot at the top, and groped around inside until he felt the candle. Down in a corner, he found the little packet of matches. He scraped a match against the pavement, and it flared up instantly. He held the flame to the string on the candle, and the string began to burn. He had a light. He had the only light in the entire city. The candle didn't cast its light very far, but it was enough to see at least the pavement in front of him. He went slowly along Pott Street, then turned left on North Street. At the end of the street was the wall of the Pipeworks office. When he got to the Pipeworks entrance, no one was there. A little cloud of moths came to flutter around the flame of his candle, but otherwise nothing moved in Plummer Square. There was nothing to do but wait. Dune blew the candle out. He didn't want to use it all up in case the light stayed off a long time, and squatted down on the pavement, setting down his bundle and leaning against one of the big trash cans. He waited, listening to the distant shouts. And at last, the lights blinked, blinked again, and came on. Lina was nowhere in sight. If the guards had found her and taken her. But Dune preferred not to think about that yet. He would wait for a while. She would have been delayed by the blackout if she was on her way. He couldn't see the clock tower from here, but it was probably not quite 4 o'clock. What if she didn't come? The singing was over. The people were dispersing throughout the city, and the guards, no doubt, would soon resume their search for him. Dune clasped his arms together and pressed them hard against his stomach, trying to stop the queasy fluttering. If she didn't come, Dune had two choices. He could stay in the city and do what he could to save Lina, or he could go in the boat by himself and hope Lina could somehow free herself and tell the people of Ember about the way out. He didn't like either of these plans. He wanted to go down the river, and he wanted to go with Lina. Dune stood up and hoisted his sack again. He was too restless to keep sitting. He walked down to Gappery Street and looked in both directions. Not a single person was in sight. He walked to Plummer Street, thinking that perhaps Lina was coming by way of the city's edge, as he had, to avoid being seen. But no one was there. He didn't even see anyone when he went past Subling Street to the very end of the city. He had to decide what to do.